The Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen, and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. He cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. So, in today's gospel, a story perhaps familiar to many of us, the Lord tells this parable, and it is just that, it's a parable, it didn't actually happen. There are some literary elements to this that let us know that it is in fact a parable, but I want to start with just a quick review. You have a rich man. We never get his name. We have a rich man who has every creature comfort in the world. He has nice clothes. It says he dined sumptuously every day. All the food he wanted, we can assume he had servants. He had all of his creature comforts attended to, right? And then we have, on the other extreme, a poor man named Lazarus, who has none of that, does not have food, does not have clothes, does not have any kind of medical attention. In fact, it says that he has sores all over his body and that dogs used to come and lick his sores. So we get this picture of two extremes, this rich man and Lazarus. And more so, Lazarus stayed at the door of the rich man and would beg just for the scraps of the food and got nothing. And so this rich man would have passed Lazarus several times each and every day. So it's not like he didn't know he was there. Rich man knew Lazarus was there and knew his condition. They both die. The poor man goes to heaven. Lazarus goes to heaven. The rich man goes to hell. And this is where we see a little bit of literary fiction here, is the rich man from hell is apparently able to see Lazarus up in heaven with Abraham. And of course, Abraham being the patriarch of the Jewish faith, the one who kind of started it all, and is associated thus with eternal rest and with heaven. And so, from hell, the rich man looks up and sees Lazarus with Abraham. And he says to Abraham, "Could you have Lazarus even just dip his finger in water just to cool my tongue? Because it's hell down here," literally. And Abraham says, "Nope, can't do that." And then he says, "Well, at least could you send Lazarus to my brothers?" He says, I have five brothers at home. Can you send Lazarus to warn them the implication being to warn them to stop living the way I was living that wound me up in hell. Can you warn them so that they too will change their lives and not wind up here? And Abraham, again, says, nope, can't do it. They have the prophets, they have Moses, meaning they have the Bible. They have the Torah, the prophets. They can listen to that, and they should be listening to that. And if they're not going to listen to that, why should we think that they would listen to Lazarus raised from the dead? And he says, neither will they be, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, Abraham says, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. And of course, in this, we also see a foreshadowing to the rejection of our Lord, even by his own people, after his resurrection from the dead. But I want to touch on something here that is important to distinguish. The poor man, Lazarus, did not go to heaven just because he was poor and had none of those things in this life. And neither did the rich man go to hell simply because he had all of those things. It's important to make that distinction. And the implication here is that the reason why each of them went to their respective places was because of either their attachment to or detachment from these worldly things. That's why they wound up where they wound up. Simply having riches is not a good thing nor a bad thing. And not having them is neither a good thing nor a bad thing. It's important to remember that. That's not what's going to wind us up in heaven or hell. In my summers of college seminary, I had a chance to do some mission work during the different summers and went all over Thailand, Ecuador, Argentina, the Navajo Reservation, and got to see a lot of people like Lazarus. Got to see a lot of people in the depths of poverty. No food, no clothing, no medical attention. And a very wise priest with whom we traveled, he said something once that stuck with me. He said, don't think that just because someone's poor, they're going to be detached from worldly things. He said, some of the most jealous worldly people I've seen were poor people who didn't have much at all and who were attached to the very little they did have and who wanted more. And the reverse, of course, is also true. Just because someone has a lot doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be attached to those things. After all, we have saints who were kings and queens, right? Who had, you know, who dined very well every day, I'm sure, who had nice clothes and servants and everything else, and yet they're saints because they learn to be detached from those things, to use them insofar as they're good, to reject them insofar as they're bad, and to take care of the poor around them. So I want to make that distinction, is simply having things or not having things is in and of itself what we would call morally neutral. It's not good or bad. It's our attachment to those things that we have or don't have. That's what's going to wind us up in heaven or hell. And that's what happened with Lazarus and this rich man. It's important to keep that in mind because we all find ourselves in different situations. And of course, of those two extremes, it's much easier to be attached when you have those things. Again, it's certainly possible to be attached to the very little one might have and what one might want, but it's much easier to fall into an attachment to worldly things when we do have those things. And so it's important to remember that, as I've said before, and it's worth repeating, that you know we possess our possessions and we don't let them possess us. We use them insofar as they're good and helpful to the kingdom of God, and we reject them insofar as they pull us away. And you know, what hit me when I was preparing this homily was this first reading from Amos, because the prophet Amos, one of the things he was constantly railing against was people who called themselves good, faithful Jews, and, you know, who went to the temple and did their prayers and, you know, all that other stuff, but had a disconnect between that and then their actions and the way in which they lived their lives. And he says to them today, he talks to those people like the rich man. He says, woe, woe, warning. Woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched out comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall. They go on and on and on. They just take care of themselves. And again, not that those things are bad, but again, the implication is that here are these people who are doing all these things and who are not taking care of the brothers and sisters around them, and yet profess to be faithful Jews. And he says to them, woe, they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. Very harsh words. And what hit me when I was preparing this homily was that, because it occurred to me, you know, I'm almost in this parish 3 months now. There's been a lot of running around, a lot of still kind of unpacking stuff and whatnot. And it occurred to me when I was preparing this homily, I said, John, it's been like a few weeks since you've put anything into the poor box. And it kind of hit me, and I said, I was thinking, my God, it really has been a while. And here I am, running around, spending, you know, $40 for some speakers for my room to plug in my iPod, and, you know, not bad things, but here I am running around doing all this stuff, ready to spend money for these things, and I was like, I haven't put anything in the poor box in a few weeks. And as soon as that occurred to me, I was like, my God, I really felt very guilty, as I should have. And, you know, of course, I instantly rectified the situation, but it just occurred to me that, you know, here I am, I'm a Roman Catholic priest, I'm supposed to be setting the example. And, you know, of course, it's easy for us to get caught up and to forget, but we need to keep that in mind. We, you know, if we're professing to be Catholic Christians, my God, you know, we need to be taking care of our brothers and sisters. And if I could put a little plug in here, faithdirect.com. It took 10 minutes. That was what I thought, too, because I said, you know what, John? You actually get paid now. I mean, not much. Priests don't get paid too much, but, you know, we get enough, and of course, history shows that it's not good when priests have too much money, so we don't get paid too much, but we get something. And that's much more than I ever got in the seminary when we didn't get paid. And it said, you know, and it occurred to me, I said, I need to start giving my 10%. I need to start giving my 10% because now I'm getting something. Now I'm getting paid. And sign up for Faith Direct. It took 10 minutes. Log on, faithdirect.com, you set up an account, you give them your bank number or your credit card, and you tell them how much to deduct each month, and it's done. And you can log back in later if you want to change it or whatever. But there's something else, too, is that we can also fall into the trap of just throwing money, right? Because it's so much easier to just put money in a poor box or in a collection basket and think, okay, I've done my duty, that's all I have to do, or to just write a check. Or, even easier with this Faith Direct thing, I'm not even going to notice. You know, it's just going to automatically deduct at the beginning of each month. Now, again, we need to do that. That's good. We should be doing that. But it doesn't end there. We need to be, as those sayings go when you have those collections, you know, time, talent, and treasure. And everyone thinks that all they really want is my treasure. No, we need time and talent, too. We need to give of our time and energy. And one thing that all of us can do, no matter how little we might have, one thing all of us can do is pray. Pray to be aware of the fact that there are people like Lazarus right here in the United States, in Maryland, in La Plata, brothers and sisters. I deal with them on a regular basis. Right here in La Plata, Maryland, there are people like Lazarus who don't have clothing, food, medical attention. And if we treat them like the rich man treated Lazarus, you know, sees him every day, passes back and forth, does nothing, the Lord paints a very clear picture of where we are going to wind up. Very clear picture, unequivocal. That's where we're going to go. If we fall into that trap of just neglecting our brothers and sisters who are in need. And, of course, just to wrap up here, St. Paul in the second letter gives us some advice how to do this. He says, but you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called.